Hi, this is Tiara.
Hello, this is Allie.
And this is the Goddess Vibration. Well, welcome back to another episode, you guys. So we, as of this recording, recognize that there is a lot of stuff going on with timelines right now. There is a lot of shifting happening and merging of timelines, and it's just weird. And, you know, we're seeing, especially on social media, people talking about celebrities that have passed, but like they're still alive, but they remember collectively the celebrity passing. So, for example, Russell Simmons, for those of you who aren't aware, Richard Simmons, for those of you guys who aren't aware, he was a big prominent health enthusiast back in like the 80s. He had all of these shows where he would essentially be doing calisthenics and exercises, and he was so motivational and so inspiring, and you know, we all respected what he was doing. And he would have all these people, especially women, like getting active and losing weight and finding their confidence again. So he had a lot of respect. Allegedly, some people remember him dying back in 2014. I personally don't remember that, but apparently many do. And it's come to my attention that he actually just died recently. So depending on the timeline or, you know, whatever is going on, the Mandela effects, you might remember him dying in 2014, or you might remember him as having died recently. That's how weird it's getting out there. And I also had a really weird experience, and Allie was with me when this happened. I was in Colombia at the time, and we were at a language exchange. I was sitting at a table, and I checked to make sure that my phone was in my pocket before I sat down, and it was. So I was like, all right, cool, you know, make sure I got all my stuff. You know, I'm always checking to make sure I have my stuff when I'm out in public, especially in a foreign country. So, you know, we were having a good time, minding our own business, having a couple of drinks. And then this lady comes over who I've never seen before and says to me, did you lose a phone? And I was like, what? I don't understand. And I believe she said it in Spanish, so I was struggling to like translate. And she mentioned like a phone missing, like a missing phone. And I was like, no, my phone is right here. And I reached to grab my phone and it was gone. And I was just like, what just happened? I just made sure my phone was in my pocket when I sat down. So my immediate thought was to look on the ground around me. So I did, and I didn't see it. And this lady is like, you know, she's pointing to the entry, and she's like, go, you know, in broken English, we kind of translated a little bit. And she's like, go over there. They know where your phone is. They know where it is. So I go over there. And I'm asking them, hey, have you guys seen a phone? Do you know of a phone? Is there a phone over here? And I don't know how this happened, but they ended up like, I can't remember if they ended up pointing me in a direction or sending me in a general direction. But I end up kind of following where they're pointing me, and I see my phone on the ground in an area I have never been. And I was just like, how in the world did this happen? How? How?
We don't know how. It was weird. It's weird out there. I don't really know, like, it's been so weird that I don't really have words for it yet. I'm still processing and trying to comprehend what's going on. And really the only conclusion that I come back to is the shifting of timelines. Or timeline jumps, or timelines merging. However you want to spin it or say it or whatever you believe, but something's going on with our timelines.
something is going on. And, you know, there are lots of conspiracies around this. You know, I would be inclined to believe that the powers that be are intentionally manipulating the timelines to their benefits for some reason. You know, we talk about some of the things that they're doing with the particle colliders and CERN and how some of that stuff has the potential to disrupt time. And maybe it is. And maybe they're doing something with that. Maybe they're trying to place us on a timeline where they have complete and full control. Like, who knows what they're doing? I just know that, like, it's just weird. And there's more and more Mandela effects. And it's just, like, the craziest stuff, you guys.
So Tiara won the conspiracy theory, which we love conspiracies, so that doesn't surprise me. But I could also go the other way in saying that Gaia, Mother Earth, she's ascending the entire planet. I could also go on the lighter side of things and say timelines are also shifting because of the ascension process.
Mm. Oh, yeah, I could see that too.
So whichever spin you want to take or whatever perspective you want to take, I think both also could be happening at the same time, because the Cabal and the Darkhold want to hold on to the control of this planet. But I mean, Gaia's ascending, you guys. She's in the final stages of her ascension process. And so it's not really surprising that things are also shifting with Gaia's ascension as well.
Yeah, and that makes total sense. I just know that, like, you know, seeing a lot of things on there, on, especially, again, on social media. And, you know, it's of our nature to try to find explanations for things that we don't understand. And oftentimes it falls into the conspiracy category. And conspiracies are fun. But, no, it makes total sense if, you know, we are getting into the final stages of ascension, that we could be seeing timelines shifting explicitly for that reason. That makes sense.
So it really just depends, because I have also seen on social media, especially TikTok, everyone talking about the timeline shifts and the timeline jumps, and, you know, some put it in the conspiracy category, but others are just like, no, this has to do with ascension. And, you know, I think some people are going to shift with Gaia, obviously, into the higher timelines, the higher dimensions, and then other people are going to stay in the 3D timelines. I think it's just, I definitely believe stuff is happening with timelines. It just kind of depends on where you fall in the spectrum in terms of your ascension process.
Exactly. So we wanted to dive into Kundalini today because I realize we are a spiritual podcast and we've done over 40 episodes and we have not touched on Kundalini. And
we have Kundalini, a little bit.
A little bit. I think you're right. Yes, we have in other episodes. But I thought it would be fun to dedicate a whole episode to Kundalini just because it's such a fascinating concept. And there are actual modalities and practices that are explicitly dedicated to Kundalini and making that energy move and rise. So I want to talk a little bit about what Kundalini actually is, because there seems to be lots of different interpretations and opinions on what it is, as with most things, for whatever reason. But what I'm going to share is just strictly from, like, the original interpretation of what Kundalini is, and then I'm going to share a little bit about other beliefs around it. I pulled this initial information from Wikipedia. Now, I know Wikipedia isn't exactly, like, the most thorough information source. This was just kind of a starting place I have my opinions about Wikipedia too, but the information made a lot of sense and I validated it with other sources. So the definition here describes Kundalini as a form of divine feminine energy that sits at the base of the spine. It's tied to the Indian concept of Shaiva Tantra, and the belief is that this energy can be awakened, and once awakened, it rises up through the spine and up to the crown chakra to activate enlightenment, spiritual awakening, and bliss states. Now, some of the other definitions I've seen of Kundalini are that essentially, in a nutshell, it is our unawakened potential. And I could see both being true. I just feel like Kundalini is more detailed and specific than that. It's essentially a specific form of energy, and it can be activated and it can be utilized in order to create these forms of awakening and expanded states of consciousness. And I just think that's the coolest freaking thing, personally.
Have you been working on your Kundalini recently?
Not recently, but I have like felt things, like stirrings in my body that feel like electricity, that feel like movements, that feel like thumps, like that kind of thing. And I don't know necessarily if it's Kundalini. I just know that I have felt some of those stirrings, which I'll talk about later. But like, as far as like a practice for awakening Kundalini, like actively, I don't.
Okay. I think Kundalini can happen differently for everyone. I know for a lot of people, it doesn't happen naturally. I know a lot of people have to put work into it. Like, for example, yoga Kundalini is a really big thing.
Yeah.
I also know like meditation Kundalini is a big thing, or guided meditations for quicker activation, which may or may not work depending on your level of concentration, because meditating is hard.
Oh, it is hard, especially if you have a really active mind like I do. Like when I first started trying to meditate, it was just like the most impossible thing ever. Like I would sit there and try it, and then I would get frustrated because I wasn't doing it. Like it wasn't working the way I quote unquote thought it should be working. So then I'd be like, well, why am I doing this? Ultimately, like meditation shouldn't be about meditation. It should be about finding ways to quiet the mind. And I eventually did with like using tricks. And for me, that trick was trying to quiet the mind through mantra. So, and I've said this to people who struggle with the same thing. Like sometimes you can just think of a word or a mantra and repeat it over and over again. And eventually the mind does turn off. It's just, it takes practice. But yes, meditation is hard. And, you know, they say if you want to awaken Kundalini, that it can be done through meditation, as Ali stated. But some of the other things I've seen people try is like the tantric stuff is really big, but also like the yoga, the asanas and the chanting. And, you know, Ali mentioned the yoga Kundalini, which is like a huge thing, where like people are going into these sessions with the intent of activating the Kundalini, trying to get to the Kundalini awakening. And the thing about it is that there is a big difference between awakening the Kundalini and the Kundalini activations, which are sometimes also referred to as Kundalini stirrings. They're very different and they can affect you differently, depending on whether or not you have been prepared for the activation of Kundalini, because Kundalini is powerful and there's a right way to go about trying to activate it. And then there, if you're not properly prepared or if it happens to you spontaneously, it can lead to something called Kundalini syndrome. And I've even seen some people talk about something called Kundalini psychosis. So, you know, as with many things, we're talking about energies, and energies are powerful. And Kundalini energy is also a very powerful energy.
Kundalini energy is very powerful. And I remember I did some research. When I personally felt my stirrings in my body, I was just like, okay, this is cool. I'm just going to figure out how to push it through. And I don't know when this happened, but something inside of me, because I'm very connected to my intuition, something inside of me was just like, hold up, you need to take a step backwards. You really should do some research. And so I hit the internet, and that's when I found the Kundalini psychosis. And I was just like, whoa, this is a very real thing. And if you are not ready for it, like, there are quote unquote dangers or warnings. And I mean, no one wants to experience psychosis. Psychosis should be and is a very serious thing.
It is. And so I want to clarify talking about Kundalini awakening versus the Kundalini stirrings, because when I learned this, it made a lot of sense. And it was also really, really fascinating because, you know, a lot of people who are into the Kundalini concept and they want to awaken it, they make that their goal and their focus. But Kundalini can also be activated or triggered without creating a full awakening. So what Ali's referring to, especially when you're talking about like feeling it in the body or like feeling energies moving around and it doesn't really make sense, and like maybe you're feeling like jerks and like heat and that kind of thing, those are Kundalini stirrings or Kundalini activations. So the Kundalini is moving in the body, but it's not going up the spine fully and leading to a full awakening. In order for it to be an awakening, it needs to rise up through the spine all the way to the crown chakra. And then once that happens, it's supposed to shift into like this permanent state of awakening that leads you towards self-actualization and self-realization. Now, for a lot of people, myself included, it's mostly just been stirrings or feeling things. And, you know, I have personally experimented with Tantra. And I feel like I need to clarify Tantra, because in the West, we have this belief of Tantra as being very, very sexual. And it's like, you know, the goal is like all these really intricate sexual positions and it's all about pleasure. And that's really not what traditional Tantra was. Traditional Tantra was sacred alchemy. So it was taking sexual energy and then transmuting it into, you know, spiritual cleansing, or using that energy to help you achieve actualization. So, you know, I've experimented with it and through meditation, and I did experience a Kundalini activation, and it was so weird because I felt the energy go up through my spine. I felt it like in my sacral, and it rose up to my heart chakra. And for whatever reason, I think it got stuck there. Like the energy just kind of got stuck in that spot. And I just started laughing, like laughing uncontrollably. And I felt my body like jerking and moving around, and I couldn't control it. And I looked like I was going insane, and I was laying down at the time. So, you know, thank God, like I wasn't able to like harm myself or like knock anything off the wall, but It was just like uncontrollable laughing, uncontrollable movements. And then at some point, like, it turned into uncontrollable crying. And that's kind of an example of how Kundalini can affect you and affect your body. Because at the end of the day, yeah, it's energetic, but it's also physical and it's also mental. Now, I had to like go through breathing exercises to kind of get my body to ground a little bit and shift out of that state. But it was really, really interesting. And that was probably my first real experience with Kundalini movement, if that makes sense.
I have a question. So you didn't feel it at the base of your spine?
No, I didn't feel it at the base of my spine. I felt it in the front. At the base, I felt it in the base of my spine, but in the front, if that makes sense. So like, I know a lot of people talk about feeling it in the back, but
that's
I felt it in the front.
That's why I was curious. I was just like, I don't think I've ever felt it in the front. Actually, I initially felt it in the back, but by the time it got up to the sacral chakra, I felt it in the front.
Oh, okay. So it's not just me then.
Yeah, but I initially felt it in the base of my spine. That's how I knew I was actually having a true awakening, is because it was stirring in the base of my spine.
What did it feel like?
What did it feel like? It really depends on how connected one is to their body. Like, I actually felt the rattling. I felt the rattling. I felt the movement. I felt, because a Kundalini is essentially like a spiral. It's a snake spiral. It's just a snake curled up. And I felt it on spiraling so it could move up my body.
Yeah, you know, so I didn't realize this until recently that, you know, and you've talked about this before, that like the snake is like the official symbol for Kundalini. So I don't know if any of you guys have seen some of the symbolism where it's like a snake crawling up around a pole, wrapped around a pole, but going upwards. It's the same concept. It's the Kundalini rising, and it kind of does like this spiral process going up the spine all the way up to the crown chakra. And some people swear that they can feel all of it, that they can feel the snake.
I did.
Yeah, like rising all the way up, and that just blows my mind.
Yeah, I felt the awakening, and then I felt it rising up, but I knew that I was having issues with my throat chakra when it was happening, and I knew that the snake was gonna get stuck, and that was it for me. And I felt it get to my throat, and then I just felt it like hit a wall, and then it was over. Like, I had to try again.
So the thing with Kundalini rising is that it will often like get stuck in the chakras that have blockages or that have something there that needs to be cleared, or maybe there's karma there. So, you know, in theory, the Kundalini is supposed to kind of show you what the blockage is. So like for me, you know, I think the laughing and the crying was reflective of stuff that was stuck in my heart chakra. As an example. So I think it varies from person to person, but yeah, if it gets stuck, then it's indicating that there's a blockage in your chakra. And then once you clear those blockages, it's supposed to eventually rise all the way to the crown, and then lead to, like, you know, profound enlightenment. At least that's the theory.
No, it does. Interesting. I mean, it does. I don't really understand why that's a theory, because it does.
Okay. Well, you know, I've never experienced it. I don't know many who have. Which is so interesting, because everyone's
that's why I'm just like, no, I definitely have. I've experienced it and it was crazy. But no, I mean, it's just, it's kind of like a full awakening is really the best way to describe it in New Age terms. It's like a full awakening, and it's like you see things in ways that you couldn't see things before. And that's really the whole point of levels of consciousness and raising your levels of consciousness.
Very interesting. Now, on the flip side, Kundalini and messing with that energy can be, it can be dangerous. And, you know, I went and I looked a little bit, I looked online about this a little bit, and I stumbled upon a man named Sadhguru. And, you know, he's this big Indian guru who talks a lot about yoga, and he's got this, not just yoga, but like states of enlightenment and, you know, how to expand and how to become your best and highest version of yourself. And he has some really interesting beliefs around Kundalini rising. And he talks explicitly about Kundalini yoga. And in his opinion, he says that Kundalini yoga is the most dangerous form of yoga. Now, I thought that was a little extreme, just because, like, you know, when you think of yoga, you think of something positive, and, you know, yoga is healthy and it's supposed to make you feel better and, you know, it can keep you fit. So I was a little surprised to see him say that. But when he talks about why, it actually makes a lot of sense. And, you know, we talked about how going into this stuff, especially if you're trying to achieve a full awakening, the body and the mind has to be properly prepared. And, you know, he says that, and he says that this energy is intense and it's a lot like electricity. And if proper preparation isn't done, it can cause mental health issues and also physical health issues and physical disturbances. And he says on his blog that he's seen people come to him who have attempted these awakenings without being properly prepared. And now they've got some type of problem going on that needs to be resolved. So I just want to share what he says. Like, these are his words explicitly. And I just thought the way he described it was so good. And he actually does like this analogy about it being like producing energy. Like on Earth, how we produce energy for electricity, he views Kundalini as like something very similar. So this is what he says. Again, these are his words. One of the ways that we do it is through nuclear reactors. It is the most efficient way of producing energy that we know right now, but it is also the most dangerous way, isn't it? When things are going right, it is the easiest and best way to produce energy on the planet. But when things go wrong, they go seriously wrong in ways that you can't fix. Similarly to Kundalini yoga, it is the most potent and it is the most dangerous. Without the necessary preparation, without constant expert guidance and observation, no one should ever attempt it. And I just thought that that was so profound that, you know, we find these things and we hop on board and we get all excited about it without fully thinking about the ramifications if we are not properly prepared. And one of those ramifications is something called Kundalini syndrome, and also something called Kundalini psychosis. And I did not know that was a thing until I started doing research on this. I had no idea that it could get that crazy.
I love how you describe that, because it's true. Kundalini, I mean, everything's energy, you guys. So Kundalini is just a very strong and powerful energy that, you know, if we're not ready for it, it can affect us in various ways. And luckily for me, like I said, when I was about to throw myself, actually, I did throw myself into it. Let's just be honest, because that's just the person I am. But before I went further, something like my intuition was just like, yeah, you should do some research. And following that instinct, I was just like, oh, okay. That's when I found the Kundalini psychosis. And another red flag for me was I knew this person who was doing Kundalini yoga, and she had a breath coach, like trying to work through some of her traumas. And I'm pretty sure that her breath coach was asking her, like, what things are you working on? And one of the things she said was Kundalini yoga. And her breath coach looked at her and said, you need to stop that right now. Like, she didn't understand, like, why. And she was just like, well, it's yoga. And the breath coach was like, yeah, I don't care. You're not ready for it. Your body's not ready for it. And she was like, well, what do you mean? It's just yoga. It's just a form of yoga. And it's just interesting how people just kind of throw themselves into these things without doing proper research, because people think like, oh, it's pretty harmless. And people don't think about the power of the energy and really the types of things that can happen by just kind of going in blindly, as many of us do. So it is very important that we do research into these things, because even though we might think on the conscious level, like, oh, hey, it's yoga, it's harmless, I mean, look how wrong we all really are.
Right. And, you know, the Kundalini syndrome thing, it's interesting because, you know, they describe it as something that happens when you go into it and you're not properly prepared. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that, I mean, you know, I know we're talking about energies in the body, but, you know, the mind, body, and spirit are connected. So when it comes to preparation, there needs to be mental preparation, but there also needs to be physical preparation, because if something goes wrong, the side effects you're going to have are going to be psychosomatic. So it's going to feel like it's in your head, but you're also going to feel it in your body. And then this is where people start to freak out a little bit. So the syndrome can happen, you know, when you're not prepared, but it can also look like a specific set of physical symptoms. Now, everyone's different, and I'm sure people who have suffered Kundalini syndrome might share different experiences. This just came from, again, some of the research that I did on it. But people have described with the syndrome things like headaches, cramps, spasms, feeling heat in the body, like jerks or sudden movements, and feeling like electric sensations, not only in the body, but like also on the skin or in the muscles. Some people talk about having increased heart rates. Now, I know I have experienced some of this stuff, but for me, it's a little bit harder to know whether or not like it was Kundalini syndrome, just because I know that I personally have like some issues with my solar plexus chakra that manifests as a specific set of symptoms. And, you know, I struggle with heat too. So, you know, it's something I've been navigating for a while. I do think a lot of it comes from like some of the repressed stuff from prior lives, but it can look like that. And I know that for many others, they have experienced more than that. Now, when it comes to psychosis, you know, I was trying to figure out, okay, well, so when does Kundalini syndrome become Kundalini psychosis? And apparently the way it starts is different. So, you know, I talked about like when it comes to the syndrome, it often can happen that way when you go into an awakening unprepared. With the psychosis, usually it starts with like a very tragic or stressful event in your life that shifts something energetically in you that causes the Kundalini to activate when you are least prepared for it. And, you know, as I think about that, I'm like, you know, that can be very terrifying, especially if you're already dealing with a stressful event in your life and now you've got to deal with crazy stuff going on in your body. Like, I get how people would lose their shit. So when this happens is when you start to see more of like the mental issues, like the negative emotions and the negative thoughts. I've read about people having delusions, hallucinations, like depersonalization or derealization, where they kind of get to this state where they don't feel like they're in their body anymore, or they don't feel like themselves anymore. And it gets really scary once you get to that place where you're like, well, I don't know what's real and what's not anymore. And then that's when it starts to like shift into full-blown psychosis. So it can get pretty scary out there if you dive into this without guidance, without support, without doing research. My heart goes out to those people who have had like the sudden activations with no context for what's happening to them, because I have read about that happening to people where, they are minding their own business, living their lives. Something happens, Kundalini activates, they don't know what it is, and now they're being committed. So, it can be tricky to navigate if you have not really done the proper research on, how to nourish and properly support a Kundalini awakening, which is why we talk about these things, because if you want to step into something like this, we want you guys to be prepared.
We absolutely do. And I think what's unfortunate about what Tiara just said is you could just be, living your life and all of a sudden a Kundalini happens and then you don't know where it came from or why it's there. And
Right.
in those situations, my heart absolutely goes out to the people who has experienced that, because for most people kind of like Tiara and I, like we kind of just jumped into it because it sounded cool and we're just like, oh, what's the harm in it? And again, I didn't do the research. Luckily, like my next go around, my intuition just kicked in and was like, you need to look this up. And I did, because I do listen to my intuition. And so it's really about being informed, but it's also knowing your body. Like, I feel like a lot of
Absolutely.
people jump into these things and they don't know if they're ready for it or not, which is why I shared the example of this person who I knew whose breath coach work was just like, you need to stop doing Kundalini yoga. And, it's just one of those things that sounds harmless, but no one actually really knows like the power of the Kundalini. And if you don't know that, that's when it becomes very dangerous. And that's why it's so important, even with new age concepts, to be informed.
I was thinking about that breath coach and I was like, oh my gosh, what a good coach. Like, bravo on that individual for having the insight to protect their clients. And I wish more people did that kind of thing.
Absolutely. No, I 1,000% agree.
We were talking about this happening spontaneously, like, and my heart going out to these people. Like, can you imagine living your life and having no idea what Kundalini is, or like Kundalini rising or Kundalini activations, and then next thing you know, like someone you love dies, and you're feeling this knocking in your back and your spine, and like your mind is spiraling, and you don't know where to go or who to talk to, and you think you're losing your shit. Like, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine. And it's just wild to think that something like that happens to people out of nowhere.
I don't know, Tiara, if you have spent any time actually like reading blogs about people who were trying to activate or people who have had a successful Kundalini awakening, but I gotta tell you, those stories are insane. They are just so mind-blowing. Like, some people talk about actually, and this has happened to me, where it's like, you see the snake. Like, your eyes are closed, and you feel knocking, and your body's jilting, and all of a sudden, a snake eye is staring at you, and you're just like,
Wow.
Especially, like, for me, who is really not a fan of snakes. I don't know. Something about snakes, like, creep me out. I understand that, like, snakes are a symbol of knowledge, and I understand, like, their symbolism, but there's just something about snakes that just creeps me out. And so it's like, I'm in the middle of it, and all of a sudden I see this snake eye forming, and then all of a sudden I see two eyes, and all of a sudden I see the tongue slithering at me, and I'm just okay, well, I know you are not gonna harm me, but this is still very unpleasant for me. So it's really interesting to just read, like, this is a phenomenon where people are just like, nope, I saw the snake and I felt it move up in my body, or I felt the blockages or the stirrings or the like magnetic energy. And it's just, it's very interesting how it happens differently for different people. Like, some people it's just all of a sudden it's done. For other people who actually practice, like, and who can see visions, see the snake. And so it's just, it's going to be different for different people, but, like, you guys should read some blogs if you're really interested, because some people's stories are honestly mind-blowing.
That's crazy. And, you know, I did do that, like, years and years ago. I just kind of briefly was looking around for people who have experienced some type of Kundalini awakening. I haven't recently or lately, but I know for a fact some of those stories are probably insane. It's just like, it's crazier to think that there are people experiencing this stuff and don't know what it is, you know? And that makes sense that that type of experience would lead to some form of psychosis, because it's like your mind just has no way of processing what the fuck is happening to you.
Right. And so it's just, it's going to be different for everyone. The cautionary tale here is do your research, be informed, because what Tiara is talking about, it happens to so few people. It's like a rare phenomenon where most people, you have to work on it and awaken it yourself and really understand the energy and activate the energy. So what Tiara is talking about is just for so many, it's just for such a small population of people versus the masses where people don't even know Kundalini is a thing. So,
yeah, most people have no idea what Kundalini is.
Exactly.
But if you are, for example, in a situation where you're feeling stirrings or activations and you know, you're feeling a little out of sorts, like, there are some things that you can do to level out a little bit. I know that the advice I've seen the most often is the need for grounding and grounding yourself and, like, really focusing on extensive self-care. But for some people, they need a little bit more than that. Like, you know, if you are experiencing Kundalini syndrome and it's really disrupting your life, I would recommend looking for a Kundalini experts or getting some type of spiritual support or something along those lines. But you certainly don't want to attempt to manage that yourself. I mean, you know, you can. And I know a lot of people do that. But at least me personally, I am of the opinion that if you're going to navigate into the realm of Kundalini awakening or Kundalini activations, or even if you're dealing with some of these stirrings or activations, really look for a support or a coach or a guide or someone who can help you through that process. Because, you know, again, some of that energy is, it's potent and it's intense. And oftentimes you do need some additional support to manage it and to navigate it. So that's just my two cents.
I do agree with the support thing. I honestly feel like enough people don't look for support. And there's a multitude of reasons for that. I think a lot of it comes down to budget and money. But if you can afford it, definitely seek out support. I am in agreement with Tiara on that. But also, if you can't afford it, the internet's a powerful tool. Now, you also have to be careful with the internet because there's a lot of false information on the internet. So I also say you really need to get to know yourself. It really comes down to getting to know yourself and knowing your limits and knowing your body. And, you know, between your intuition and knowing yourself plus what you find on the internet, it's manageable. Is it preferable? For some, yes. For others, no. But it is manageable. You just have to really get creative if budget is an issue. And if it's not an issue, I'm in full agreement with Tiara. You really should seek support.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, if I've navigated budgetary issues and oftentimes like I've had to get creative. So that might mean looking for a book or looking for a support group online or even a forum of individuals who have experienced something similar. I've even done like the exchange for services. Like if you have intuitive abilities or spiritual gifts, sometimes you can go work with someone and just offer an exchange of services. So like, hey, you provide this service for me, I provide this service for you kind of thing. So, you know, there are things you can do to get around the budgetary issues if you are looking for support. But as Ali said, you just got to be creative and, you know, think outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, I love the trading of services. I actually learned that from one of my friends and she's an EFT practitioner. And I'm just like, how do you do all this? And she was like, mostly I trade services. And I was like, that's actually a brilliant idea.
Isn't it? It's like the most brilliant thing I've ever heard. I'm just like, wow, I need to do that more often.
Right. So the moral of the story of this episode is the Kundalini is a very powerful energy and most people are not ready for it. And for the very rare, it's just going to happen automatically. And for most, you got to put work into it. And as the cautionary tale, know your body, know your limits, do the research, get informed, and really do what's best for you at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And, you know, Kundalini awakening can be a very profound and beautiful experience. And, you know, anyone who's going to go into that and pursue that, like, we want you to have that beautiful, profound awakening and, you know, reach that state of enlightenment and expanded awareness. Like, we want that for everyone. It's just, we want you guys to go about it in an informed way. And because we don't want to hear stories about any of our listeners suffering from Kundalini psychosis. We really don't want that, you guys.
So we're going to wrap up today's episode. And just so you guys know, by the time that this airs, it's going to either be the week of or our community is going to be opened. So if you guys are loyal listeners, please check out our community. It's going to be on Patreon and it's going to be a subscription base and it's going to be really fun. Like Tiara and I have been working on content and exclusive content, blogs. We are talking about potentially doing like tarot readings. We're going to do channeling sessions. There's going to be so much fun stuff in there, but we also want to make it really interactive. So it's not just like Tiara and I hosting all of these things. Like, we want you guys to be involved. And if you listen to our podcast, please give us a review. Please give us a follow on our social media, TikTok, Instagram, and let's build our soul tribe.
Yes. And you'll be able to access the community through our website, which is www.goddessvibrationstudio.com. And there will be a link that goes directly to the Patreon. So, you know, the easiest way to get to it will probably just be to go to our website. you know, go to the Patreon. You can sign up and join us. And we're going to have a lot of fun in there, you guys. We're going to be asking you guys to really contribute too. So polls and, you know, discussions, and it's going to be active. It's going to be engaging. And we can't wait to meet you guys and really build a soul tribe that benefits all of us. So definitely stay tuned, and you will see updates and information about the community on our social media as well.
Yes. So thank you, everyone, and have a great week, and we will catch you next week.
Okay. Thanks, you guys.